Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on a very sunny Thursday morning. Breaking news before we get to Sal Capaccio, and I am going to want to get his thoughts on this right away because it just happened moments ago. Adam Schefter tweeting out, Dolphins have fired head coach Mike McDaniel. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, I mean, just immediate thoughts on this.
I wonder if John Harbaugh being available had anything to do with this, because as of a couple days ago, it seemed like Mike McDaniel was safe.
Yep. And remember, we talked about this yesterday with Harbaugh, where his, you know, the first report was he's actually been talked to by more teams than there were head coaching opportunities.
Right. Now, that doesn't guarantee that he would go there, but yeah, I mean, well, Jim was a Michigan guy. Stephen Ross, I believe, is a Michigan guy. Might be a tie-in there, but you can connect dots. Either way, I do wonder if that had anything to do with it. You know, we always knew that McDaniel was on a bit of a shakier ground, but I think once we got through a few days and he did a press conference, it felt like they were going to keep him. Now, that being said, they're also interviewing GM candidates, right?
Yes.
So, because they're interviewing GM candidates, you wonder if candidates said, look, if I'm coming in here, you got to give me a right to have my own coach. I'm not coming in here being saddled. So Stephen Ross has to then pivot and go, all right, well, I guess I have to do that to give more prospective GMs an ability to want this job.
And you know what? And bringing it back to now Jacksonville Jaguars, who the Bills are playing, how they get Liam Cohen? They ultimately have to fire Trent Baalke. I mean, it takes the one candidate and then they move on. But Sal, I think you're probably onto something there where maybe in the early hearings, they're finding out a bunch of guys are like, I'm not hitching my wagon to a guy that might be out next year. I think there's absolutely something to that.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. I don't really know. Like, I mean, obviously we could speculate all day until we hear from Stephen Ross what actually spurred it on, but obviously a new coach coming in the AFC East.
Mike McDaniel, yeah, out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Now, though, to the Bills and the Jaguars. Sal, we got our first injury report yesterday. Was a walkthrough, but boy, it was a lengthy one.
Yeah, for sure. So the big news yesterday, I think, is Matt Prater still not kicking, but him talking to the media after and saying he feels confident that he'll get a good weekend and then he'll be ready to go on Sunday. But he still has to do that. He has to kick today. We'll see about tomorrow. Josh Allen is on the injury report, but really good news is full participant yesterday. No practice yesterday for linebacker Terrell Bernard or linebacker Matt Milano. Now, Milano is sick, so let's hope he's back at practice today. I'll be down there in a little while. We'll find out a little bit later this afternoon. Bernard's still dealing with a calf injury. That's a bit problematic because Shaq Thompson is still limited with the neck injury that he had from a few weeks ago. So you're a little banged up and have an illness at linebacker. Hopefully everything starts to settle in today. Ty Johnson didn't practice yesterday with an ankle injury he suffered during the game. And I'll let you remember, in the game, he came back in. He actually scored a touchdown after that. But, you know, you go back in the locker room the next day, you could have problems swelling up, whatever. So we'll see how he gets through the rest of this week. And then Joshua Palmer was the one that we didn't know about, and then all of a sudden he showed up as a DNP on the injury report. So again, what's going on there? Was it something where they just felt, okay, let's back off on him because he played on Sunday, he'd been dealing with the ankle injury, or is this something where it is another issue because the ankle isn't quite right, and today will tell us a lot more. Several guys are limited, including DeMar Hamlin, who was his 21-day window to play was open. So he doesn't count on the roster right now, but if they wanted to, they could activate him by Saturday at 4 p.m. And that, you know, could happen depending on other things around the roster, but doesn't appear that they have any issues at safety right now other than Jordan Poyer, who was also limited, but that's good news with the hamstring injury because he hadn't played in a few weeks.
Sal, when it comes to the linebacker position, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano both show up there as DNPs, and I do wonder, especially with Shaq Thompson limited, they might be really running a little thin here potentially against Jacksonville with the linebacking situation.
Yeah, but like I said, I think as long as Matt Milano's not super sick, I wouldn't think he'd miss the game. And you know, hopefully he's back today. He has an illness, is why he missed yesterday. But I do think you have to account for both Shaq and Terrell dealing with injuries at the middle spot. You do have Dorian Williams; he can play both spots. Joe Andreessen actually started last game, so they could be a little thinner. I wouldn't be surprised to see Keontae Jenkins or Baylen Spector elevated for this game, because what happens is, even if guys are healthy enough to play, you don't maybe want to put their full plate on the special teams and things like that, and then you need somebody for special teams. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes today. I wouldn't be too worried about linebacker right now. I think today would be a key day. And even if Terrell Bernard can't go this week, then I do think you're probably looking at Jenkins or Spector probably elevating up for the game, because, again, then Joe Andreessen essentially becomes your backup middle linebacker. You don't want to have to be in a position where if something happened to Shaq Thompson, then you're without Andreessen on special teams as well.
A position fans might be worried about, though, Sal, and I might's probably a weak word for that, probably are worried about, is kicker. Matt Prater, not practicing yesterday, but he did talk to the media, and he seemed pretty confident in his ability to play on Sunday, though. I don't know if I would roll that dice, Sal. Where do you sit with Prater in the kicking game?
Well, it's going to be interesting over the next couple of days what happens. As I said, he said he's confident he'll get through a couple of days here, and he feels like that's trending that way. He did use the word precautionary when we asked him what happened Sunday, which is encouraging, meaning, you know, he said it did stiffen up on him, the right quad, Sunday's game, because of the cold and all that. Excuse me. He said, he's confident that, you know, he'll do all that, but it's also not his choice, right? I mean, like, at the end of the day, the trainers and doctors are also going to kind of evaluate, see where he is and all that. Now, let's just say he gets through the week and he does kick well. The Bills feel confident. I still think you have to consider the fact that what happens if something happens to him Sunday during the game. Now, unless the Bills are super confident that he's going to be fine, nothing's going to happen, they might want to elevate Matthew Wright from the practice squad. They might even want to have him active and have two kickers active on Sunday. I don't know, guys. There's a lot to be decided here. You only get two elevations. You only get 48 spots on game day. So, you know, it's just, as we sit here now on Thursday, there's just a lot of speculation. We just don't know the answers to yet.
Right, and this stuff we'll be able to find out, what is it, Saturday at 4 p.m. is when we'll have a better idea. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, looking to the Jaguars, I was listening to Trevor Sikkema, part of his breakdown of this matchup over on PFF, and he was bringing up Trevor Lawrence and obviously how well he has been playing up to this point, but it's also been to a certain extent because he is just taking more and more risks. Like, he is really playing with fire a little bit here. And I do wonder if this is a matchup the Bills can exploit. Of course, they come into this game with the number one ranked secondary. Cole Bishop has really ascended into, I think, probably a player that most Bills fans trust, where if you look back at the start of the season, he had maybe the biggest question mark surrounding him. This is a matchup, and me and Derek were talking about it. You know, if the Bills win on Sunday, what's a major reason? I look at McDermott, you know, could this be a game where he could really put his stamp on it and, you know, go to town on essentially a quarterback who has not been in these situations much and a debut rookie head coach in the playoff?
I agree. I think this is a really big moment for the Bills defense, their staff, going against this particular quarterback who's playing really well right now. You have a very good offensive mind on the other side in Liam Cohen. They have played against Trevor Lawrence, but he's not in those games previously been playing anywhere close to the level he's playing right now. Obviously a different coaching staff, different system. They do a lot of really good things on that side of the ball. It's almost a really no win situation in a lot of ways for the Bills this week, guys, which is, you know, they're supposed to be here. They're supposed to beat the Jaguars.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If they don't, the season's a major failure. If they do, it's like, oh, well, you're supposed to do that anyway. Whereas on the other side, the Jags, they necessarily weren't supposed to be here with a first-year head coach. They have everything to gain, nothing to really lose. If they lose, it's like, oh, you lost to Josh Allen and the Bills? Okay. If they win, it's like, oh, my God, here we go. Look what this team's doing. It's found money. So I do think from that aspect of it, that's a tough spot to be in. But at the same time, I do think Sean McDermott is still one of the better defensive minds in all of football. Now, I know his defense has been leaky against the run, and we can point to this being wrong or that being wrong and what happened in games past. I get it. I'm just saying building a game plan, trying to stop another team's best weapons. I think he's been very good at that. The Bills haven't been beaten necessarily by like number one wide receivers a lot this year when they've gone against really good run teams. Sure, volume might be there, but they've done a good job in spots where they've had to shut down like a Saquon Barkley in a situation when they played Carolina and those guys were really rolling. They did a good job. So it's a test this week. I think the biggest test is not just Lawrence, it's how well balanced this offense is for the Jaguars. They can run the ball really well. And when they do, and look, when I say run the ball really well, a lot of times it's staying ahead of things. No, they're not a team that's going to rely on the run. They're going to rely on the pass. But if they can start to run the ball well, which the Bills obviously have been bad against this year at times, that's when Lawrence really gets unlocked. They can run play action off that, and then you really get in a bind.
Sal, I'm glad that you mentioned it. They do tend to go by the pass. I think the big matchup that I'm looking at here is Taron Johnson has not had the season of his usual standards, and Parker Washington has really come on a lot for Jacksonville. While there's been a lot of public praise, especially by the head coach, about Jacoby Myers in that receiving core, I think that that's probably the matchup I'm looking at the most is Taron Johnson and Parker Washington.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough matchup. He's fast. He's good. I mean, they really found something there. And what really happened here with Jacoby Myers adding in, everybody's kind of fit in their roles a little bit better on that side of the ball for Jacksonville, right? Jacoby Myers has kind of allowed everybody like Parker Washington to flourish. And even Brian Thomas Jr., who's been much better, really, the second half of the year since that. You know, when the Jags lost Travis Hunter, it's obviously terrible, and you don't want to see that. And Travis Hunter's such a dynamic, fun player to watch. But it forced them to go out and try and, you know, do something different, add to the group. They added Jacoby Myers, and it's really worked out well for them. Not the injury necessarily, but the fact that they had to pivot a little bit and figure out another way to do it. And I give them a lot of credit for that. So it is a really tough matchup. It's a good matchup. You know, I just think they have a lot of different weapons. You have to figure out how to cover. And if you can get pressure on Lawrence, the other thing the Jags do, guys, is it's kind of the McVay-Goff thing when they were together. Like Liam Cohen talks to Lawrence up till 15 seconds left in the play clock. And he'll give him the answers to what he's seeing on the other side. Mm. And I think there's a counter to that, though. The Bills know that. The Bills can see that happening. The Bills can try and switch things up. But if they see something they really like, they'll get into that play. And, you know, that's a cat and mouse game that's going to be played on Sunday.
I'm also curious, too, you know, getting pressure on Lawrence. Him and Allen have essentially taken the same sacks. I think Lawrence has taken 41, Allen's taken 40. It should be noted, though, in the last three games, Lawrence has taken at least two or more sacks. It's not everything, but I think stops are going to be at a premium in this game, or it could be huge in this game, maybe not necessarily turnovers the way he's playing, but I think it could be big. And that's been a problem for this team in the postseason, Sal. I think there's a number of these Kansas City games in the playoffs they would have won if they could have just gotten a sack or two on Mahomes.
Oh, of course, right? That's been the thing we've really lamented here in Buffalo in the playoffs is what's held the team back has been the question the last few years in the playoffs. And I think the first answer you normally get to is they just didn't get to the quarterback. They didn't get to Mahomes. That's why they went out and signed Von Miller. That's why they went out and signed Joey Bosa, which, by the way, Joey Bosa on the injury report, but, you know, it's good news. He's hamstring. I think he was full. I have to go back and look at
he
it.
He was full purchase,
but, you know,
yeah.
They've I think, done a – you know what I was thinking about, guys, today? Remember when they signed Joey Bosa and everyone said, just put him in bubble wrap for the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are. We're in the playoffs. And yes, he does have the hamstring, but it's kind of gone that way where, yeah, he did have a little bit of an issue, the hamstring later in the year. And that was like, oh my God. But now it's playoff time and he didn't play last week. Now you need a guy like Joey Bosa, and exactly to your point.
Right, and that's why he signed him. Sal, last thing here before we let you get ready for practice today, and of course tomorrow you'll have Sean McDermott on this show as well to kind of get a bit of a update as we head into the weekend. But tonight we do have some important football, the college football playoff. Going to be locked into Miami or Ole Miss?
So tonight, yes, I will watch some of that. Tomorrow is my wife Yana's birthday.
Okay.
So she is headed. We will not be around tomorrow. She's headed out of town to visit her mom. So tonight we're having a birthday dinner. So I do not want to be focused on the game while we're at birthday dinner. That would not be good husband.
There you go. That's right.
A good husband thing to do. But you know what? We'll be done with dinner and home and watching the game for sure. So yeah, I am going to be dialed in on that. Sabres Rangers tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm excited right now. Every time the Sabres game on, I'm making sure that I see all of that. I think I like Ole Miss tonight because I love the story, but yes. I think I might be going with my heart and not my head because Miami's playing really good football right now.
Mm-hmm.
But man, this Chambliss kid is really good. I love watching him play, you know. And their running back is special. They have it's just that whole story and Lane Kiffin, and not to get into all that, but how can you not root for these guys, right? But should be fun tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Miami
and
right
I like
now.
Indiana tomorrow too, and I hate saying that. My brother actually got his PhD from the University of Oregon. He's a Duck. He loves the Ducks. So I wouldn't mind seeing Oregon win. I just think Indiana is a special team this year.
We've got multiple just incredible stories that are documentary worthy, and only one of them is going to be able to raise the trophy at the end. Sal, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for jumping on us, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Thanks,
Sal
guys.
Capaccio,
thanks,
there.
Sal.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm still here.
Thanks, guys.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also get a bit of a Bandits talk in as well. John Gertler is going to join the show at 11:30. We'll take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll keep taking your calls, hitting your tweets up as well. If the Bills win on Sunday, what is the major reason why? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.